Okay.
Episode 195 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and occasionally the paranormal. So you never know what you're going to get on this show. Well, you kind of know, at least on Monday and Thursday, but Wednesday, I'm going to start throwing some curveballs out there. So as you could clearly tell in the last episode, I'm actually shocked at the number of people that were actually in support of it. I'm no longer in that camp, y'all. I'm kind of a people pleaser. I've been that way pretty much my whole life. And I think I successfully have worked my way out of being that person. And I'm going to do what I think is interesting, what I find interesting. It may not always be permaculture. And if somebody's got a different way of going about it, or they got an interesting story or something like that, folks, I'm going to bring them on. So, hope you enjoy the ride. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Handle all your preparedness needs yourself, and whatever you can't get, go check out Heaven's Harvest. Believe me, those seeds are off the hook. And all of the freeze-dried stuff they have, y'all, it's never going to be as good as you like, but if you can't afford a freeze-dryer right now, and you can't get certain items that you can put away that make sense for you, go check them out. I know they're not a big fan of me saying that sort of thing. I don't know that, but I'm guessing they don't. Because unlike a lot of other people that have podcasts out there, look, y'all, man, I got to sleep with me at night. And I'm going to tell you honestly the best way we go about it and the way we've done it. And everything I couldn't in the past, I mean, way in the past, everything I couldn't source myself, we would go through. Well, there was a time back in the day, it was during the Obama administration, because I remember when it stopped, we would go through the canneries at the Mormon. There was a pretty high Mormon population in Kansas City. And we would go by there when they had their cannery open, we'd go make our own stuff. And, you know, I mean, it was a fraction of the cost and you can get it right from them. And all of a sudden they had to shut it down. And now I think the way it works these days is that whenever you want any preparedness items or anything like that from them, I know they changed it up. I know they can't do the canning the whole nine yards, but does it seem like that's something of a conspiracy? I digress. Anyway, if you want to tip a pimp, you can do it over there on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed if you like. And you can drop a derivation of Bitcoin over there called Satoshis, or for short, they call them sats. So drop a S-A-T on a P-I-M-P. You know what I'm saying? All right, so let's jump right into the farm news. And I've been recording a little bit earlier. It's, you know, essentially only two, sometimes 3 days a week. So I'm making sure that I'm recording earlier because I'm obviously going to be way more lucid, y'all. If I'm out here, you know, sweating like a runaway slave out here in the sun all day, and then I come in here and try to prep a show and do all that, I just don't hit the marks I'd like to hit. And I frankly just don't have the energy. I mean, I'm getting it done, but I'm like, I know that I'm kind of shortchanging you folks. So like I did the last couple of podcasts, I'm going to keep it up doing it this way. So what do we got going on around here? Well, freeze dryer's running pretty much as often as I can run it. I know a lot of people don't understand. They hit me up for this and that, and they ask for this and that, and I'm learning to say no, and I'm getting pretty good at it. And a lot of people are hitting me up for consultations. Folks, I don't do that. William and Eric do all that. So Eric, you know, from the show, and William from the show from before he moved to our other farm in Texas. So any consultations, y'all, you're not going to do better. Just check those guys out, and whether they can do it remotely like Eric or come in person like William, they're going to get you squared away. And as far as the tactical side of things, as far as knowing what to do on those sorts of things. Those guys can always hit me up and, you know, hit me up as far as design and how it might or might not fit within that framework. So be sure to hit those guys up because they're very, very capable. In fact, they're much better at it than I am. Now, there are things from a military standpoint that I understand that they won't, or they don't have the level of training that I have on that sort of thing. But like I said, it's just a phone call away from those guys. But I can't hit up every single person. I can't help out everybody that's hitting me up on that, folks. I really don't have enough time to do what I need to do around here. And I really can't add anything more to it. So anyway, I do appreciate your level of confidence to at least consider me, but I just don't have the bandwidth, folks. All right, so other things we got going on around here. It's like Groundhog Day when it comes to weed eating. And here's how I strategically do it. If I possibly can, I try to save it for one of the last things I do at the end of the day. There's a reason for that, because where I'm working and as nasty as I'm going to get, I don't want to have all that stuff on me as I'm doing the other things that I have to do. And some of them are inside the house. So when Michelle's spending all this time cleaning up the house, man, you want to talk about the quickest way to get her fired up is right after she cleaned the bathroom downstairs. I come in, use the bathroom. Meanwhile, I got all this stuff that I just knocked all over me. Plus, it's also a good way to finish the day. It's a mental thing for me. And believe me, there's a lot of that when it goes into this, and it should be. Because I make sure that at the end of every day, if at all possible, that I can look at what I just completed. Because it gives you a sense, even if the whole day went to pot, and it happens, and it happens more often than you know, it could be the rain, it could be any number of things, it could, I mean, you name it. In fact, I mean, when it comes to the rain around here, y'all, I'll be honest with you, even the lady at the store told me the other day, and I wonder if it's happening to everybody else out there. If you look at the app on your phone and whatever prediction they're making, just figure the opposite. And that is the way it's been as of late around here. And it is absolutely, I mean, jaw dropping. So I'm going out there in between the raindrops, sometimes in the rain with the weed eater, so I can have that sense of accomplishment. It's a mental thing at the end of the day, because right now things are very vegetative. Sheep aren't going to eat everything. In the areas where there might be a little bit of silver grass popping up, it's pretty cool when you got sheep out there because they won't eat it, but they will eat every single thing around it, and it makes it stick out like a sore thumb. And it's so much easier because that way I can weed eat it down to the base is the way you got to do that stuff. I can weed eat it without any consequence to anything else around it. So it's a pretty good little symbiosis that I got worked out with them. But I tried to do that lately at the end of the day, mostly so I'm not tracking stuff in this house. And honestly, she would have every reason to be upset. And I'm trying to avoid that because she is going at 100 miles an hour with chronic back issues and the whole nine yards. And she's doing a couple of little healing modalities that we got from Dr. Brian Artis. I'll let you know how those work out, folks, because if it works out the way it, man, I'm really got some of these people out here that have this great information. I don't know how to get a hold of them. So I'd love to have them on the show, but I have zero way of knowing how to get a hold of these people. There's no way to contact them. So I don't even know how other people get them on the show. So look, man, I'm a farmer first. If I can reach out to these folks and it's not too doggone difficult, believe me, I do it and I'll continue to do it. But yeah, so we're working on a couple of healing modalities. And folks, if this works like I'm hoping it does, we're going to have a lot to report to you. And honestly, I don't want to tell you guys anything until we test it out first. So that's exactly like I was talking about the coffee enemas and how well that seems to be working. Look, it's getting your liver and gallbladder to dump everything out of it, despite what the MDs say. If you give it a shot, follow the directions. If you do it properly, see how you feel when it's all said and done. And you get back with me and let me know. So other things we got going is... Michelle's finding places, or at least trying to find places, for all the extra plants she put in flats around here. So it means a little more centropic design that we're really accustomed to doing around here. But it's really a good problem to have. There's a couple of places that I have in my orchard. In fact, I just filmed the video for today. Well, it's not going to come out today. Hopefully tomorrow. It's just, I mean, finding time to edit and sleep deprivation and stuff like that, man. Something's got to give. And like Eric always says, man, people care first. Starts with yourself. So we're trying to get better at doing that sort of thing. In fact, I'm going to cover some of that in the main topic. You're going to want to hear some of this stuff, especially for you folks that are kind of doing this stuff, boots on the ground. All you people that write into me, I'm actually fashioning shows about around some of the questions you make. Because clearly, like in the radio business, if one person asks, there's at least 50 others that have the same question. So I'm going to kind of stick to that and explain how we get some of that stuff done. And right now in the spring and the summer, when you're really busy, man, you're really busy. But like I said, more on that a little bit later. So, in those places down the hill, man, when I really go through it, I just thank the Lord for all the abundance that he's given us. And barring some freak thing around here, y'all, we should have a bumper crop of everything, you know, notwithstanding what disease and pests and whatever else, things I can't stay on top of. But so far, everything is looking absolutely fantastic. And the soil is absolutely astonishing. Folks, the level of worms I'm seeing out here is blowing my ever-loving mind. Deep mulching works. It does. You just got to give it time. So just stay in there. Speaking of homestead happenings around here, man, the rain is it. I just don't even know how to process it all, y'all. I mean, it'll be there and then it'll go away. I'm seeing weird weather patterns, and same with everybody else around here. People that have lived here generationally are seeing things that they just can't even understand. Like, you know, as cold as it is during the day, or it's just odd. Things are odd, but thank the Lord that everything seems to be really kicking out here despite all that. So other things is it's funny how you can creep into bad habits. And myself, I'm definitely right there with you. So I'm working literally from dawn till dusk every single day. And as the days get longer, well, your days get longer. I'm not complaining one bit because I love the work I do. But I'm one of those people that unless I'm just beyond exhausted, I've never been one of those people that's been able to just lay in a bed, close my eyes and go to sleep. I always have to have at least one, I kind of got to ease into it. So lately, now this is a bad habit that I'm breaking. This is why I'm saying old habits kind of come back if you're not careful about them. Like Eric was talking about in the last podcast, that when you make these advances on yourself, you got to stay on it or you will drift back to bad things. Well, a little side note, I noticed that on Netflix, and yes, I have a Netflix subscription because I want to know what my enemy thinks. I can't stand Fox News. I can't stand MSNBC. I can't stand CNN. I know they're all prostitutes, but I got a glimpse into there. I got to go into the matrix, so to speak, or actually quite literally here lately. I got to go into the matrix to know what lies they're telling everybody so I know to believe the opposite. Netflix is exactly the same way. And so all of a sudden, I noticed a while back that Netflix all of a sudden came out with the entire Matrix series. I mean, all of them. I have never known Netflix to do that. And then they did the same exact thing for The Hunger Games. I'm like, well, I know that all of this stuff, a lot of it is pre-programming. It's, you know, they do it on purpose. It's called lesser magic. They have got the powers that shouldn't be. You may or may not believe this, but the powers that shouldn't believe this stuff. They got to give you some kind of warning as to what they intend to do. It's called lesser magic. And among the initiated, let's call them that, they got to at least passively let the people they're about to murder, torture, whatever, they got to let them know what they're about to do. And so they do that through media a lot of times, and a lot of times through movies and stuff like that. Like, for example, look on Neo's passport before they edited that part out and look at the date on his passport. It was September 11th, 91. How about that? And then you look at all these other things that are placed in these movies, and they're there for a reason. Now, you may not believe it, but before you go calling me a conspiracy theorist, go out there and examine this stuff for yourself because it exists. Well, that brings me back to my sleep and The Hunger Games. So I went through and I'm kind of slipping through all the places that where I'm kind of, okay, yada, yada, yada. I get it. And then The Matrix becomes a little bit repetitive. And I'm like, what are the odds that they put The Matrix and The Hunger Games, all of it on Netflix all at the same time? And I'm going through it and I'm losing sleep over this because I'm like calling myself like trying to ease into going to bed, but really I'm trying to find out what's in there. And so I've been kind of not doing the best protocol, which for me it works like nobody's business, at least when I'm trying to get to sleep, is either pray or recite the Psalms. I mean, because there's no shortage of things you could be praying for or people you could be praying for. Folks, I pray for y'all. Me and Michelle both. We do. We pray for y'all, and we ask for you to pray for us as well. And we pray that the things we're doing are a great benefit to the people out there, because it ain't paying. I mean, it ain't like YouTube is breaking my bank account. You know, they got to a certain extent. I'm sure there's a fair amount of shadow banning on there. In fact, I know it's happening, or people being unsubscribed. And, you know, but at the end of the day, it was never about subscribers. It was about getting the right subscribers, creating a good community, and evangelizing this magnificent design science we call permaculture. But in all this, yeah, found myself into a bad doggone habit, and I am determined to break it starting tonight. So, yeah, get the phones out of the room. Even if it's on airplane mode or in a Faraday bag, it makes it too easy. So, you know, forget all that. It's time to lay down and actually rest, because all of a sudden you train your brain, just like Eric was talking about. If you're not careful, you will train your brain to go to sleep only after a certain, you know, train protocol. So now my brain is like saying, okay, dude, you know, hey, where's the latest episode of The Mockingjay or whatever? And, you know, you got to untrain yourself. So it's going to be something of doing that. So folks, when you're focused on sleep, that's what it's got to be there. When you walk in your bedroom, it's got to be your place where you know, hey, it's time to lay my head down, time to go to sleep. And I've been awful at this my whole life. So it's gaining ground, and then I lose it, gain ground, lose it. I'm just telling all you folks out there that that's the way you got to start treating your sleep. And starting with me. So I'm not telling you anything. I don't need to work on myself. All right, so another little thing I've noticed out here, when I was recording that latest video that hasn't yet come out, it's basically a tour of our orchard. And man, it's kind of sucks because I'm only giving you like 10% of what we got going on out there. That's really it. And I probably recorded for an hour. So we'll see how much of that actually stays in there. But as I was doing it, I was sitting here, I'm always thinking things, at least these days. Well, actually, for years and years now, for at least more than two decades when I'm looking at design. And I'm really realizing how much multi-floor rows. Now, I don't want it there. I don't want it there, but man, could it be an awesome tactical defense? So in my fence line, I'm thinking in some of these places on the other side of my fence, I'm like, you know what, man? I think I want to keep it there, because that is one avenue of approach. You're not walking through that. Yeah, look, I don't care what jumps off. If you got multi-floor rows out there and other varieties like it, it might be a good tactical barrier on your defense. You might even want to, man, forgive me for saying this, but in some cases, you might even want to plant it. And if you got lousy soil, something like it, because all those thorns, briars, bristles, all that stuff, man, they grow where there is bad stuff. So think about that in terms of your homestead defense and areas where you might be able to use it. You know, depressions, can you use it? Can you put it down on the other side of a depression? You know, is it cover and concealment for your enemy in that certain place? I mean, is there a way around it? So you gotta think about those things. So it's always a double-edged sword when you consider concealment. I wanted to say this other thing. Look, there was this email I got, and actually I've seen it in several places right now, is that there's this popular purple tomato on the market right now. Now, my favorite tomato, I've never made no bones about it, at least when it comes to eating it on a sandwich or something like that, is a Cherokee purple. And I ain't talking about no store-bought variety, y'all. And in fact, the downside, the reason why you'll never see a Cherokee purple in a store is because it doesn't keep very long. You have got to put it to use real quick. You also can't use it in sauces. Doesn't work that way unless there's a, you know, intrepid chef out there that knows how to do it, but I don't. As far as you know, eating it fresh, that's probably one of my favorite tomatoes. But anyway, there's this new purple tomato on the market, GMO all the way. And so be careful out there. If you see it in the store and it's really purple, purple flesh, purple on the inside, you name it, all the way around, purple on the outside, just keep in mind that that thing is about as GMO as it gets. And a lot of homesteads, apparently, judging by some of the articles, have actually kind of slipped this thing in here unwittingly. So just keep that in mind. All right, coming up, let's see here, May 19th, Upstate South Carolina Homestead Gathering. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it to that one, but man, I wish I could. I got another event Well, what is that? I guess that's this weekend coming up. Yeah. So Homestead, yeah, that, so get loose or get lost, y'all. Upstate South Carolina Homestead Gathering, May 19th. That's this weekend. So go down there and check it out. They got a Facebook page. And go there, have the time of your life. Also coming up in June 9th, the East Texas Homestead Meetup. That's going to be happening again from the Fearless Podcast. Also the Texas Boys, a.k.a. the Texas Boys. My son, I believe he's going to be part of it as well. So he's the permaculture consultant. And I think they got all the bugs worked out, and they're going to be having another gathering down there. And anybody in the Arklatex, man, you're going to want to go there. What I mean, for those that don't know, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma. If you're anywhere in that area, y'all, this is definitely within driving distance. So you're going to want to go there, go meet all these folks, and find out all the different ways in which you can be working with one another right now. All right, so before we get into the good news section, y'all, want to remind you, Redemption Shield had Gina on the show yesterday, but that's not going to come out into a podcast until next Wednesday. But Gina from Redemption Shield knocked it out of the park. And folks, look, as I'm broadcasting right now, if you could watch me, my feet, my bare feet are on a mat. I got it from Dr. Eads a while ago that, I mean, this was great news. I mean, it's bad news, but it's great news in the fact that you can really mitigate this stuff. If you're holding an electronic device, if you're around a computer-generated place or you got Wi-Fi running around you, if you can stay grounded, your body never really feels the effects. So I'm staying, look, man, I'm staying as grounded as I possibly can. And being in this room where I got, well, I got these light bulbs I'm going to change out, they're LED. Yeah, believe me, those are going away. I'm going to find me some incandescent, even though they're illegal. Thank you very much, George Bush. I'm going to find me some incandescents and replace those. But anyway, they're putting off EMFs, the computer I'm in front of, the Rodecaster, the iPad that I have next to me, and usually my phone that's in this room. You're getting bombarded in all these different directions. Well, I'm staying grounded straight up, y'all. I ordered three more of these things so I don't have to keep dragging the same ones around all over the house. So anyway, Redemption Shield, get all your shielding and grounding over there. Let me see, 10% off. And I think they got a special right now where you get even more with promo code PERMA. So go over there and check them out. I'm pretty sure it's on the website, whatever adjustment they've made that will save you even more money. Not only a sponsor of this show, y'all, I reached out to them. They did not reach out to me. And I'm glad to have them. So we're going to jump right into the good news here. Oh, my goodness. Check this out. Now, I got to preface this. Well, let me just read the article, then I'll preface what I'm before I get into my statement. Huffington Post triggered by Trump's plan to, quote, execute child traffickers. Man, I wish I had a, all I can say to that is,
tip a pip.
Bam. That's what I'm talking about. Look, I'll make it very clear, y'all. I am no fan of Trump. No fan of Biden. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I know because I've looked into the work of Carol Quigley, knowing full well that both sides of this corrupt bird are all corrupt. And Trump, I think, in just to put it out there, y'all, I think he's the biggest Trojan horse there ever was. You're not going to tell me an electrician, a farmer, a person like me can figure out what's really going on with that so-called vaccine, but the president of the United States can't. I ain't giving him no passes on that. So, yeah, even, you know, if a notorious liar tells the truth, it's still the truth. So, yeah, he says execute child traffickers. Okay, I'll give you kudos on that one, y'all. I'm all about it, especially trafficking. The people that are harming these kids in any way, shape, or form, y'all, make no bones of my position on that execution. As soon as it is irrefutable, and I mean irrefutable, it can't be one of these things where some kid, when I was in the Army, this lady, she was married to this sergeant first class. He was a Ranger, the whole nine yards. And he wasn't my platoon sergeant, but he was in first platoon. I was in third platoon. Anyway, he was up here catting around on his wife, and she went and got the kids to come out and say that he molested them. He gets kicked out of the military. I mean, he was guilty till proven innocent. No trial, no nothing. Basically found his way out, committed suicide. Later on, years later, a couple of years later, I was still stationed at Fort Bragg at the time, come to find out that he didn't do it. The kids were coerced into doing it. There were no charges put on the mom that encouraged the kids to do it, and they were like his stepkids. No consequence whatsoever. So what I'm saying is when it is irrefutable, yes, death penalty. Put them in the wood chipper. That's how I'm rolling. All right, so some other good news out there. Man, that's strange that I find that good news. But yeah, I'm going to call that good news because all pedophiles need to go into the wood chipper feet first. All right, so here's another good one. Preparedness solutions, the many uses of vinegar beyond cooking. All right, so some of this stuff you're going to know, some of it you may not. Well, it can clean and brighten up your brickwork. I did not know that. Burnish your rust-proof scissors. Did not know that. Clean and soften caked and stiff paintbrushes. Could have used that one a couple of hours ago while Michelle was out here painting these bee boxes because she ended up throwing that paintbrush away. Ended up getting, it was an old one and she didn't clean it out properly. Now, this one I didn't know. Clean coffee and tea stains from glass and china. Sorry for the brief post. I had to cough. Clean up pet accidents. I think there's other things out there that work better than that. A lot of enzymes that work better than vinegar. Clean and disinfect wooden cutting boards. Keep animals away from your food garden. Didn't know that. Bone sauce would probably work better. Keep hiking water fresh. Loosen rusted or corroded hinges and screws. Did not know that. There's a lot here I didn't know. Make plastic and vinyl upholstery anti-static. Didn't know that either. And remove bad odors. Well, tell you what else I do with vinegar. I drink some every single day when I'm not fasting. Before I eat, I drink a little bit of apple cider vinegar. And if I'm taking digestive enzymes, it'll actually make those enzymes work, like supercharge them. So that's why I take some of it anyway. Yeah, so that's always good stuff right there. And then the third good news article. Hey, y'all, as predicted, as I'd hoped, check this one out. Female athletes push back on transgender inclusion in women's sports. All right, so we got another trans testicle the other day who wants to claim he's a woman. Man, he's like smashing. He's from Rochester Institute of Technology, and his name is Schreiner. Well, he won the 400-meter dash, and he's basically breaking all these remarkable records, but he's coming in last place in men events. Well, here lately, the women are refusing to even take the field. They're like, we're not even going to compete. And which really sucks because these girls and these women have trained hard for this stuff. And you got these guys pretending to roll in as some, you know, he's now a girl and we got to play along with a mental illness. And all of a sudden he's smashing these records. So girls, ladies, wherever you fit in that continuum, and I'm talking the real ones, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to not compete. And then maybe afterwards hold your own event and then find out who the real champ is. But yeah. When I'm seeing trans testicles like that Fallon Fox, that was the name, out there absolutely beating women half to death in mixed martial arts, when's enough going to be enough? And like I said before, since men seem to be nutless wonders these days, the women are going to have to step up and really stand up to all this. I mean, where are all you guys going to the city council, you know, when your little girl's got to compete against these people? Where are you? You afraid? I mean, come on, stand up. Well, never mind. I know the women are going to do it anyway. With that, we're going to go into my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's in most towns and cities across the globe, you never need an alarm clock in the morning because the rooster will do that job for you. Chickens are one of the best elements to create a sustainable system. Several chickens is enough to produce all the compost you need to grow your own food. Bill Mollison said it should be illegal to create laws making keeping chickens illegal. And it should be a basic human right to keep 6 chickens. So why is it that in the freedom-loving, good old U.S. of A., not only is keeping roosters illegal practically everywhere, keeping chickens is illegal more often than not? I understand not wanting to be woken up at dawn by a rooster, but you could easily make a straw bale chicken coop with an automatic door, essentially keeping the rooster in a soundproof box until later in the morning. But we tolerate so many more obnoxious sounds in our towns and cities, it really makes no sense. When is the last time a car alarm stops someone from stealing a car? Or the obnoxiously loud exhausts on cars and motorcycles? Not to mention the ridiculous stereos where the bass actually shakes your house. I love dogs, but I've never lived anywhere where there wasn't a dog barking constantly all day long. We are bombarded by sound constantly. but for some reason, almost no one would agree to having roosters next door. This is, in fact, another reason to start a permaculture community group to influence the local laws in your town. Is it truly the sound of a rooster that is the issue? I mean, if you don't know, laying hens make just as much noise. Or is it because a rooster represents true sustainability, self-reliance, and food security? You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. Boy, he is knocking it out of the park. And speaking of t-shirts, I got his on right now, and I filmed my latest video in that. It's the permaculture preparedness t-shirt, and I got a cool sweatshirt just like it. Folks, you want awesome conversation starters? You want to show up to any of these things? Get his t-shirts, y'all. I don't even produce them anymore because I wear his because they are the best. To his point there, man, there is nothing that irritates me more than a person with an intentionally loud vehicle. I hate my biggest pet peeve, y'all. Well, I got a lot of them, but right at the top of the list is unnecessary noise. I detest unnecessary noise. In the construction trade, when I was still out there doing electric work, you would always have some idiot that thought it was funny to just make a bunch of noise, just bang on something because he thinks it's funny. I mean, yeah, so easily amused, huh? But Eric makes a great, great, great point, as always, when it comes to these roosters. I mean, what would you rather have wake you up? The idiot who intentionally put that muffler on his car to just make a bunch of unnecessary noise, or the guy riding around? I can't stand Harley Davidsons for exactly that reason, y'all. I'm not even going to lie. I hate them. Hate them. Or these people with these crotch rockets that make them loud. But any day of the week, I would rather listen, even though one of the things I really detest is rhythmic barking. I'm really sensitive to certain kind of noises, which makes a lot of good sense. Is why I live where I do. Can't stand loud noises of any type. And Eric's right on the money. What is it about a rooster? That is far less obnoxious than some idiot rolling by in a loud bike on purpose. That is far less obnoxious. And folks, I'm going to tell you, and I'd love for somebody to actually do this. My son came up with the idea a while back. If they're telling you in an HOA or wherever you live that you can't have chickens, just tell them, look, turn this idiotic. I just read the story a moment ago about how men are competing in women's sports. It's insane. So is it less insane if you were to say my chicken identifies as a dog? I'm dead serious. I would love for somebody to report to me that you've done that, because honestly, if you do it seriously, I don't see how you can lose in today's day and age. Use this mental jujitsu and turn it upside down. I'm dead serious. So once again, hat tip to my man, Eric Sider, y'all, permaculture consultations. People have come up to me at some of these festivals, man, and they're just raving about how much he was able to do remotely. So go check him out. Boy, he knocked it out of the park once again. All right. So before we get into the main topic, I want to remind you, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Been a journeyman electrician, y'all. I've been an electrician for 27 years. And I've installed transient voltage surge suppressors all over this country. And there ain't even anybody out there that comes in even a close second. Certainly nobody out there that would give you a guarantee that they offer, which is they're going to cover you for 25 G's if it on your house, on your meter, not your meter, but in your panel. If it doesn't do what EMP Shield is supposed to do, they cover you for 25 G's. Find me somebody else out there that is even in the shadow of providing a guarantee. In fact, find me a single surge protector that offers any guarantee. Nobody like EMP Shield. Once again, that's why I reached out to them. They did not reach out to me. All right. Got to get into the main event here. And it was inspired by the people that write to me. And there's been a number of people out there telling me, look, in a nutshell, man, I'm in a bind. I got a deadbeat husband, won't get out there, help me with anything. And usually that's the case. Or it could be a widow, or even in some cases, a widower, where they find themselves behind the eight ball. They're trying to deal with the agony and the anguish of having lost their loved one, their spouse, and they're trying to get all the work done that they did jointly by themselves. And they're wondering how to do it. Or in the case of like somebody like myself, where there may have been, three of us doing the work. Now it's two of us. And we have to be very, very, very cautious in this very steep mountainous environment, because honestly, an injury for us would be very, very tough to deal with for one person, especially when it comes to all the things that have to get done. So we have got to have everything on point, and doing it by yourself. And there's a lot of people I know of that do all of it by themselves. They have no plan B if they get sick. Animals still need to get looked after. They still need to move. Even though I notice these days, really, most people are not moving their animals. Certainly not daily, not right now in the spring flush. People are not moving their animals, or they're moving them very little. But anyway, for us, it is, people are asking, how do I possibly do it? How do we do it? Well, folks, I'll be completely honest with you, because this is truly something that needs to be addressed. I start every single day after I get done with the chores, because I know that doesn't change. So as soon as we get done with the chores, which means moving everything, or in this case right now, we don't have pigs to move. We don't have a cow to move. It's just the sheep and the chickens, but that means moving them. That takes a little bit of time, even though we're quite efficient at it when we're on like not really, really crazy terrain. Even though we're becoming more and more efficient at it every single day, it still takes time. So as soon as that's done, the first thing I do is I come in and I create what's called a power list. And this was inspired by Andy Frisella. And all it is the five, folks, if you sit here and do a to-do list like I used to do, it is going to drive you insane, because you're going to find out that you almost never get anything or everything done on that list. It's not the way you need to look at it anymore. The power list is been a massive game changer. Ever since I talked about it the first time, folks, I don't miss it. I do it every single day. So what this list consists of are the five critical things that have to be done that day. Now, I got an overflow list, but these are the things that cannot wait till tomorrow. They have to be done. Now, I probably should put moving the animals on there, but it's compulsory at this point. So there's no need for me to put it on there. So whether it's business related things, whether it's things that need to get filmed, whether it's usually it's farm tasks, because I'm trying to definitely, I'm walking that tightrope right now, and I'm not going to let myself go on the other side of it, where if you're not careful when you do this work, especially when you have a YouTube or a podcast or anything like that, you can find yourself drifting into being a YouTuber and no longer a farmer. Folks, that happens more often than you know. Look, my first love out here outside of Jesus is farming. So I am determined to not let myself go into that good night where, for the almighty dollar or whatever the case may be, where I'm out here spending hours and hours and hours trying to edit. Look, if I can't get it done in short order, I know that YouTube is not going to favor my content, because I'm not heavy on the editing side. I'm not heavy on hitting all their marks. I could do it if I had hours and hours and hours to spare. I just don't have it. So it's going to have to be what it is. And you can easily fall into that trap, as so many do. And believe me, there are a lot of them out there that are absolutely in that trap. I'm a farmer first. This is what I love. So that's what I got to focus on. So within that five things that you have on that list, they can't be non-critical items. The way Andy Frisella teaches it is that once those five things are done, then you basically can do whatever you want with your day. Well, I'm a farmer, y'all. It doesn't work that way for me. These are things that if nothing else happens that day, these five have to get done. And for me, that could look like a number of things, like got to make bone sauce, or have got to weed eat. That's been on my list every single day as of late. Have got to weed eat, because once it gets away from you on this silvergrass, y'all, it is a nightmare trying to cut it afterwards. So I got to stay on that. Other things on that list could be any number of things that are indigenous to your place, but it's got to be five things. Now I make an overflow list of all the other things. If I get these done, then I can drift into these other things. Now the key is not to get yourself into the downside of that list just because it's convenient, although it might be, and I'm not always perfect about it. As of late, y'all, I've had it. What's really stupid is at the end of the last several days, I've had to write fail, and you write whether you win or fail at the end of that day. I've had to write fail on there because it was a little task that I didn't get done. So that's one way that we go about it. We also, before I really get into the brass tacks of that power list and what I'm putting on it, I have a little powwow with Michelle. Now, this is the area where it can get a little bit hairy because she has a list of things that don't necessarily overlap with my list of things, but she may need my help for some of it, and I may need her help for some of it, like filming. That's not something that's very efficient for me to do by myself. Or when she's out there, typically, when it comes to efficiency around here, that's my job. Michelle is not built for efficiency, and there are things that I'm not built for. But efficiency, she's never, that's never in her mind. But I did point out to her, like, okay, when you're out there digging comfrey, I'm noticing how long it takes for you to do it. But it goes four times faster. Remember, y'all, if you do a two-person job by yourself, it's not twice as long. It takes four times as long. It's well known in the construction industry. And so I explained that to her. And then so we're out there fighting like the Hatfields and McCoys because she has her way of doing it. But I'm thinking, I know a better way. Well, it turns out her way of doing it was less impactful on the ground, and we were able to extract more roots all at the same time. So, and then getting her to actually succumb to realizing, hey, you need a partner doing this, and it goes so much faster, and we get more done. We both had to budge a little bit. So it's finding those areas of efficiency that really, and you got to get rid of your foolish pride, folks. It's just because somebody else came up with it. You know, I had wondered forever and a day. When I went down and visited Danny and Wanda down at Deep South Homestead, I mean, I made it very clear that my intent, because I did not believe the two people were actually doing what they were doing in the course of a day. I would not believe it. So I was like, okay, we're dropping everything. I'm going down here. I'm going to reach out to them, see if they'll let us make a visit. And once they found out, because they had kind of put a moratorium on just anybody showing up. If you were fake, if you weren't legit, they weren't going to allow you to come by there. So after they vetted us, they agreed. And I thought I was going to go down there and find out these folks were a complete scam, like so many other YouTubers I've found out. And the folks, believe me, you would be shocked if you knew how many of these people you think are doing what they're doing, but they aren't. But I found out quite the contrary. Not only were they doing what they say they do online, I mean, not only are they doing it, they're doing it by themselves. They're doing more than what they're telling you about. They're just not telling you about it. So all of a sudden I had to go into learn phase. Okay, how on earth are they doing this? Because these are people that are 10 years older than me and they're getting more than I'm getting done. How are they doing it? And so learning from them, okay, it helped. It helped to go there and get something of an apprenticeship of how they are doing it. And then taking some of that back here with us. So yeah, it can be done, but folks, I'm going to break the bad news to you right now, and you're going to have to get over yourself. You're going to fail at some of this. Some things will be neglected, but here's where perennials come into the mix. Here's why I love perennials so much and why you might want to consider using them more is that they are more forgiving to neglect. And when I'm saying neglect, folks, I'm probably not choosing my words great, but it's not intentional neglect. But they are perennials, and they're here precisely because they require less of me. Your annuals are going to require more. So you got to think about these things. Okay, how could I be more efficient? Well, putting more perennial systems in here, and I don't know why so many homesteaders neglect to put in fruit trees, nut trees, all kind of nitrogen-fixing trees. These are gifts that keep on giving. And by and large, most homesteaders seem oblivious to it. And I, for the life of me, can't understand why. I hope I'm doing a little bit out there to change some of that. Folks, people care comes first. Before Michelle and I get on with our list during the day, I mean, before we really, really, really get after it, y'all, it's like a standing order around here that both of us, like in the morning, like it was yesterday morning, I woke up in a bad mood. And I walked out and I was like, okay, I know that if I go in here and I do some deep Wim Hof breathing, you're never in a bad mood when you're oxygenated. Yeah, I learned that one from Gary Brecka. There's a reason why you don't wake up laughing because you're in a depleted oxygen state. But if you do some of that breathing, it changes your disposition. And it did with me. So I started with that people care, got out there, said, okay, she's out there before me. So let me go ahead and do this before I present myself to her, because it can make all the difference in the world, the way you present yourself to your spouse and to your kids. So I want to be the best version of me. So that means stop, listen to Eric, do a little bit of that people care, starts there first. Now I'll go out and start my day. And then that people care honestly consists of a number of other things. But before we get hot and heavy on the things, unless it's some emergency, we start with the people care. And it's got to be that way. Whether it's going out there, getting that morning sun, and if it's cloudy, maybe the red light therapy, touching the ground, doing all the things we talked about before. And folks, I mean, I want to circle back to this one. Is some things right now just don't get done. And they're strategically not on the power list. You dig? So you're going to have things that get away from you. Should you have weeded? Okay, maybe you got a 9-to-5 job. You're exhausted when you got home. Maybe it didn't happen for a week. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's just going to get awful, man. It's just getting behind and behind and behind and behind. Well, less consequential in most perennial systems, but in your annual systems, could be a big deal. Just understand there's going to be times where things are going to be a failure. Do not beat yourself up. Remember, it's like a sailboat. A sailboat is not your life in this career, in this movement, in whatever you choose to call it, is not a speedboat. Speedboat goes from point A to point B in a straight line, right? That's not the way you can operate a homestead or farm. You're more like a sailboat. How does a sailboat operate? Well, it doesn't go in a straight line almost never. You're going to basically ride the wind. Sometimes the wind is going in your direction. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes you might have to tack into the wind, but you're gaining. Even though you're going to the left, sometimes to the right, port, starboard, whatever you choose to call it, you're still making forward progress, even though it's not a straight line. And it works that same exact way on the homestead. Sometimes your ship's going to sink. And I don't mean everything. There's going to be certain things that you just couldn't stay on top of. And you're like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to basically do it. Jeff Lawton Instant Garden over this and start over again. Those things happen. And when they do, folks, when we have colossal failures, I make sure I explain it. Because we're not, I mean, in a YouTube format or on a podcast, you're only seeing what I present to you. So as often as I can, when we have colossal failures or when there's a junk pile around or things that just got away from you, man, you got to talk about those things. And I do when I can, or when they're relevant, because everybody out there, and I've really come to say this more often than I should, is that we're so often comparing our beginning to somebody else's middle. I don't know how many people came up to me at one of the last festivals and said, man, I'm so far behind. I'm so far behind. It doesn't look like yours. Well, mine didn't look like mine 5 years ago. This place was a thorny, thickety mess. I got the videos to prove it. But start where you find yourself. And then later on, you gain a little more ground. And then later on, you gain a little bit more. Before you know it, you're way past. You're making all new mistakes, but they're not the same mistakes. And that is absolutely positively key when you do all of this. So hopefully that was a blessing to you. All right, so let's get into the Q&A right here. So right here says, we got this one from Rebecca. Says, the bone sauce and the comfrey arrived today. Thank you. Deer came in at 3 a.m. this morning to browse our various berry bushes and fruit trees. Since trees are not dormant, can we apply the repellent onto a metal pole or a wooden stake beside them? It's pouring rain, so do we need to hurry? Okay, do we need to do this on a sunny day? Let me go ahead and answer all these questions because other people, I'm sure, have them. All right, so when it comes to bone sauce, you want to always put it on a wooden surface. If you can, avoid many metal poles because it's just going to wash away after a while. At least on a porous wooden surface, it'll stay there. Now, on your trees, you can still put them on your trees. You just got to be careful about the branches at browsing height. If you can, I've done it before. I'm taking my paintbrush with the bone sauce, and I've gone in between. Folks, it also helps if you pray over your stuff as well, because I'm certainly praying that it works as beautifully for you as it does for us. Now, as far as the rain, yeah, on a porous surface like wood, it's going to work very, very well. And I want to thank you, Rebecca, and everybody else out there for your business. I mean, I know you could be doing this. You could be shopping with anybody, and you choose to do it with us. Can't thank you enough, folks. So Charles wrote to me. He says, when swimming, normal in-ground swimming pool, does that also have cause for grounding? Yeah, It absolutely does. But I'll tell you what works even better. The best source of grounding is salt water in the ocean. There's no better way to ground yourself. Plus, you're getting all the great minerals, provided you're not in Jersey. You're getting all the great minerals that are in that salt and in that water. And yeah, there is no better way to ground than in salt water. But fresh water is almost as good, not as good as salt water, but it is even better than full body grounding. And that's one of the best ways to go about it. Heard another doctor that was on with Ed Milet. I think it was Ed Milet talking about that very same thing. So got one from my man, Eli. He says, great episode. He's talking about the one with the flat earth, fittest flat earther. I had a negative response when my wife first told me about it. And then later on, he grew into it. So yeah, like so many people out there, just like the fittest flat earther was talking about, it's, I don't know where people are in the spectrum on that. I'm not going to apologize for what I say. Bottom line is, you know, when people argue with you, it's always, well, but, well, what about, well, what about, well, what about? For me, gain, set, match on this. At the end of the day, as you can see, entirely too far. Tyler, if you can watch some of his videos, he's got video from over, 60 some miles away to Chicago? That should be an impossibility on a ball. So you can go ahead and say, well, what about this? What about that? Look, you can see too far. You're not on a ball. So I'll leave it right there. I mean, I don't care who doesn't like it. That's just my thoughts on it. And that is empirical data that can prove it. No, it ain't no flipping mirage. It's actual stuff. And you can actually see the people moving on some of these things. Bonneville salt flats. I mean, folks, experiment after experiment after experiment. Look into it for yourself. Examine it for yourself. But make sure you don't do a Google search, because they're only going to lead you to the people that so-called debunk this stuff. And they only deal with the issues. They're doing a straw man. Which basically in their cases, they're only dealing with the evidence that's convenient to them. So got one here from Steven. It was good to meet Steven and his son, Steven, at the Mountain Readiness Festival. And so he says, I've been going nonstop since we got home from Mountain Readiness. We wanted to pause and let you know how great it was for my son and I to meet you. And it was great to meet you as well. So he, just aside, you mentioned the War of Northern Aggression. That's what I call the Civil War. He says, I was born in Atlanta in 1960, and we heard it referred to as, quote, the Civil War, the war between the states, the War of Northern Aggression, and for the really hardcore, the war, the recent unpleasantness. Yeah, I guess those are all, you know, polite ways of calling it, but I see it as a War of Northern Aggression, especially when you read, if you doubt me, y'all, Lincoln wasn't who you thought he was. Read The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo, and you're going to find out that that guy was every bit the polecat as all of our other politicians. You've been lied to about him. In fact, go to the Lincoln Memorial in D.C. Read some of his quotes right there on the doggone memorial, and we still think this guy was a hero. No, he was not, and six semper tyrannis. So anyway, yeah, we got one from Zach here. Always great to hear from Zach. He's got these azalea bushes out there, and he said he employed a couple of methods between me and Spearco, and he sent a picture. Folks, the before and after of these azaleas will absolutely knock your socks off. These things practically looked dead before he got out there. So I'd love to know exactly what he did with them. But at the end of the day, man, if it works, it works. So it was good to see that. So we got the last one here from Brittany in Duncan, Arizona. It says the Gila River runs right through my acreage. I have a huge infestation of salt cedar, or it's otherwise called tamarisk or whatever. I may be getting that wrong. As I begin to clear this thicket, I'm tasked with how to proceed and process this material, considering that it has a high salt content. All right, so I'm going to go Jeff Lawton 101 on some of that. When you got something like that, now I've never worked with that specifically, but what I would do is consider seriously mulching it up and leaving it in a pile for a while. And then I would check the salinity after a while and see what happens. I haven't specifically worked with that. I don't know what the salt content. I didn't realize there would be a salt content in that stuff. It may not be what you thought. I would take some after you've had it for a while there. I would even try a test case on some fresh stuff and just see how it works, because the salt in that stuff might actually be tied up. So I know for a fact that as it decomposes, that the salts will be tied up in there. They're just going to be made inert in a lot of different ways. So there's a bunch of different ways you can go about it, but I would try it straight up as a mulch in a test spot, see how it works. Let it age for a while. and then try it again, then try it again and try it again. I would definitely give it a shot as a mulch and see how it works out for you. Jeff Lawton found out, like I said, in the, in fact, Eric Sider actually worked as like the guy running the site in the Jordan Desert. He'd probably be somebody that would actually have an answer to that question that makes sense. So maybe reach out to Eric, go check out his website and reach out to him. Maybe he's got a better answer for me. But yeah, that would be just off the top of my head the way I'd go about it, but I've never specifically worked with it. All right, y'all. Hopefully this was a blessing to you. Until next time, stay alert, stay alive.
All I speak is the word. Now I gotta get up every morning. Gotta make up for the best.